know the ECHO meeting, and we're looking forward to a lot of nice echoes of the lessons that you have enjoyed during the convention. We're going to start our song, or our meeting, with the song 129. Wilson will now invoke the Lord's blessing on this service.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this session of our convention, with grateful hearts we bow before Thy throne of grace to thank Thee for the rich feast of blessings from Thy storehouse that Thou hast poured out upon us. And we do pray that Thou wilt help us to take these things to our hearts and minds in the ensuing days, that these lessons might sink in deeper, that they might bring forth in us greater zeal to do Thy will, to walk in the footsteps of Thy dear Son, and to grow in character likeness to Him. We thank Thee for this wonderful privilege of fellowship and for this season apart from the world. For this spiritual strengthening. We thank Thee for our brethren here and pray that Thou bless each mind and heart bowed before Thee now. Bless Brother Michael McCoy as he leads our testimony meeting, our echo meeting, that we might rather put a cap on this wonderful convention and as we take these thoughts away from here with us. And now we also would ask Thy blessing upon all Thy people throughout the world. Give them the trials and experiences necessary for their character development. Give the strength to those who are undergoing special trials that they might be able to overcome. We pray for Thy kingdom to come, for the blessing of all mankind. We ask all these things, asking forgiveness and giving thanks in the name and through the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Brother Bob is here on loan from the Fresno Ecclesia to the Gresham Retirement Center, and we're glad he and Jenny came up here to be with us this weekend. So we'll now turn this meeting over to our brother, Michael Nicorum.
I'm intrigued by the fact that Bible students have a language all their own. You don't necessarily know that if you've grown up in the Bible student faith, as I have. You don't think about it particularly as words that are unique to yourself until, for some reason or another, you find that you are talking with those that haven't grown up into it, and they don't understand what's happening at all. I recall that when our convention went off-site to a secular facility, the facility got a hold of the program, and they noticed that the last session was Mark Lovebeat. And they said, you know, there's no food that's permitted in your room here except that it's provided by the facility. And we said, don't worry. Don't worry. That isn't exactly what it means. our love feast doesn't mean what you think it means. Well, I thought you look at the program and it says echo meeting. And if you've been around conventions for years, you pretty much have an idea of what that means. But if you haven't, you'd say, what kind of a meeting is an echo meeting? And there might be even that sense of curiosity to find out what it is. But an echo is a reflection back of words that have been spoken. And that's the kind of a meeting that an echo meeting really is. It's your opportunity to reflect back what you've heard over these last 3 days. It's not important that you give the right credit to whoever said it. In fact, you can consider yourself lucky if you remember who said it. We find that in personal fellowship, we get kind of mixed up as to whether it was this brother or that brother or some other brother that said it, and that is totally irrelevant. That is unimportant. What is important, though, is that you heard something that was important for you. And you could even embellish it a little. That is, the thought led to another thought, which led to another thought, and that became of value to you. That's the kind of thing that we like to see happening in an echo meeting. And why do we do it? Well, I think we do it because it makes it come alive for us, and it becomes a blessing for someone else. Because when someone says, the following thought was given. Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is not on the way to boiling. No. Boiling is the way we start out. And it's on the way down from boiling. We don't want it. It's not a stage that we want. And I want to remember that, and I don't want to be guilty of lukewarmness. Now, that sort of makes it come alive, a thought that we hear, and we sort of personalize, we share then with others, and then the others say, that's right, that was said, I missed it, and now I'm going to try to remember it. So that's why we have an echo meeting. That's the kind of objective that is there for us. Our theme text, which we have been looking at here on the poster and also on the program, starts with a verb in the imperative form, seek. The imperative form, it's like a command. You do it. And in a way, what we've been hearing for these last several days are various talks that I think have been supportive of that imperative form, the things that we must do. Do you want peace? You've got to do something about it. You've got to work at it. You want to be an image of the Son of God? You've got to work at it because everything around you almost forces you into the mold of your neighbors. That is, to share their prejudices, to share their aims and ambitions. And unless you resist it, you will be brought right in like your neighbors. These are all parts of, I think, a common theme that have gone through our discourses these last 3 days. You are responsible for what happens to you and it requires work, just as we have it in our theme text. Now, during the time that we have our echo meeting, we would like to be sure that when you speak, that you speak using a microphone. Brother Mark and Brother Aaron each have a microphone, and as you already know from the testimony meeting of yesterday, the cords do not stretch as far as you like. So you may have to come in when you do talk to us, and we want you to use the microphone so that everyone can hear you and also so it can be taped. And we have 50 minutes where you can use the time in an edifying way to remind us of what message the Lord has sent you. That is, that you have personified, that you want to take back, that you don't want to forget. And we look forward to hearing what those messages are. And now turn the meeting over to you. Who would like to be the first? Betty would like to be the first, Mark. Thanks.
Betty in Bakersfield, California, and I've gotten so much out of the convention, but it's hard to remember everything, but I know I need to more of that priorities that was so much in the talk, and patience, and I like that about the boiling and not to come downward, and well, there were so many more things, all the things you were talking about. And I love all of you very much, and you've been so precious to me. I didn't think you could become any more, but you're always becoming even more precious. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Betty. Sister Steele Molinar.
Brother Nakora and dear friends, I am very pleased. I want you to hear how grateful I am to the Heavenly Father that gave me the strength and permission that I could come to this convention. It's been quite a few years that I haven't attended, but evidently I needed this, and I must say that all of our speakers were girded beautifully head heavily with the Word of God. I have enjoyed every lesson that was given, and I am uplifted very much, and I will never be able to thank the Lord enough for his privilege that he had allowed me. And because I have a daughter who cares so much to see that I come, and I am so grateful for that, I can't say enough, and I want to be like our little sister that's gone now, Goldie Wood. She'd say, this was the best convention I was attending. So I agree, she was very truthful about it. It is the greatest convention I have had in a long, long time. But I have been uplifted. The lessons were beautiful, worded beautifully. I need a lot of things to hold me strong in my faith. And I am going home much stronger now. And Ray will be so pleased that I have attended this convention. I ask an interest in your prayers, dear friends, that I may continue faithful and strong in the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Steele. And we're glad the Lord has given you the strength to be here, and that you have Cynthia, too, that can make sure that everything is good. And it's great to see you. Sister Molly Nelson from Los Angeles. Yes, you can sit. It'd be fine.
Okay. First, I am from Los Angeles, Molly Nelson. And one thing I do want to say, love and prayer from Esther. I'm sure this is what she would want that conveyed. I appreciated Mike Balco when he mentioned the song that they sang for dear Esther. So she will be very happy when I bring this home to her. Now for myself, I was a little apprehensive about coming because there was many obstacles in the way. Everything ironed out, and I left the earthly Adam home on Friday. I didn't think about home at all, and I'm still not thinking of home. I was in the heavenlies. Friends, you don't realize how much I was lifted up. Brother Breacher's talk on seeking first the kingdom priorities, he emphasized that so prominently, so I hope that in my days that I can reveal these things to my heart and see them, just as I'm focusing on that text there. Also, when the handouts were given, and I saw what was on those handouts, I want to work diligently on that because I'm sure that I didn't test, because I'm so happy that I hear these beautiful talks, patients, Brother Ruttman talking about the evil times and so many things that were so necessary in our lives to edify ourselves. I hope that I can be a faithful servant, because this is what's in my heart and it's always been in my heart. And I have prayed for all the brethren. I know they're all striving for this goal. We're all seeking that most precious gift, the immortality, and to be with our Heavenly Father. Pray for me, dear friends. I do need a prayer.
Thank you, Molly. That reference to the handout sheet is a nice one for self-examination. It's almost like being a student in school, and you get a copy of the test, but it isn't examination time yet. You have some time to figure out the right answers for it until the time comes when you're going to be scored on your answers. So maybe one of the things to remember is now we have a little time between now and our death where we can still get the right answers to some of those questions. Brother Frank?
One of the remarks that Brother Balco mentioned...
Move it closer to your mouth. But
just...
This is Brother Frank Gadmer from Tucson. I'm going to see how often I can do this. I don't know.
He mentioned that some of us will not see one another in the flesh. It brings me back to the time that we left for Israel, and I made a visit to my mother back in Connecticut. And as we were parting, she says, "Goodbye, son. If we don't see one another this side of the veil, then the other side." 2 hours when we got back from Israel, my older brother who lived in the vicinity called. Mother had passed away. That was 2 hours. And one of the things that Mother continually brought to mind was to live each day that act as if it was your last. And I thought how appropriately that is. And in the thought that, as has been mentioned, the best convention yet, brings to mind just why. Each occasion where two or three are gathered, the Lord said he'd be there in the midst. And to the extent of the preparation of heart and mind is to be able to receive, like the Lord has said, that my Father is glorified if you bear much fruit. What is fruit? Paul seems to identify it: gentleness, goodness, long-suffering. Somehow long-suffering doesn't seem to fit in as a fruit of the Spirit. And yet, there it is. And yet, this is what the Lord expects, realizing the appreciation of entering into the sufferings, as Peter has said, the tri-suffering. So I'm glad for the occasion to meet the various ones and the exercise, to what extent gentleness, self-control, even long-suffering, with perhaps some of that rubbed the wrong way. But all in all, appreciate this privilege that conventions offer.
Thank you, Brother Frank. Sister Janine Wilson from Fresno, from Portland.
Brother Michael and dear friends, this is our very first time here, and we're overjoyed. I'm so full, like all the other brethren that have testified, so full of the many blessings. One thing in particular, though, on Saturday night, I really appreciated the lessons in the covenants, and a couple of the scriptures that I just found in my notes I'd like to correlate. Starting with Genesis 21, verses 13 and 14. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. I like to correlate that with Romans 11:27. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And this is the new covenant. And I appreciated that these are back to back. And I just hadn't had much scriptural proof for that before, but I really will take this home. And we ask in interest in your prayers.
Thank you, Sister Jenny. Brother Lutz Ruthman. Dear Brother Michael, dear brethren, beloved brethren, you call this session echo meeting. But for me, when I came on Friday and I was tired and standing here, and I looked in your eyes, I think there was an echo meeting for me in this moment, because I felt like home. Mm-hmm. I felt not in a strange country or under brethren who speak another language. I felt from the first moment I felt home. And I think it was the same with my dear wife, Eleanor. I think it was a really refreshment for us here and to be with you. And I would not give a specially talk to say it was for me the best. They all were refreshments, and it was a widespread field of things, I think. And I got from every talk, I got intentions and things where I can reflect about a long time. So I think the echo from here goes to Europe and to the friends in Germany, in France, to Greece, and we all will say that it was a lovely time with you. I will not say, if any will ask me, how was the convention in Seattle, I will not say it was nice, or it was pretty, or it was good. No, it was outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Lutz, and we, of course, are delighted that you and your wife can be with us. Who will be next? Brother Michael Brandt from Seattle.
Well, there are so many things to mention. I wrote down a few so I wouldn't ramble too awful. The talks I did here, I enjoyed every one of them. There was something for me in each of them. I liked especially Bernd Eckholt's talk. He made one comment, and he paused that made me pause. He said that we all should have a proper appreciation of the divine standard. And I realized that I do have that. I know I want to have that. I appreciated Tim Thomason's discourse, and especially the parable of the tools I will remember for a long time, showing the need of all the body members and the different colored bricks we should appreciate and not criticize. One brother, I forget who it was, but his initials were MN, gave a talk on the Portrait of a Perfect Man. The title that Jesus was given to him as a curse when they called him a friend of sinners, I think he wore it as a badge of love and beauty and something that I would like to wear, and I enjoy when I see it in the friends. Another thought that was given by this particular brother was that made a point to me that to put away all prejudice and have only love for one another. I liked one little comment that Ken Furnetz made. He said that after putting together the discourse on the Portrait of a Perfect Man and Stephen Serasi's talk, that he wanted to run into the washroom. And I've had those same feelings, and even being in the washroom is the opportunity to cleanse yourself from the defilements that we see as we view the perfect standards that are set before us through the seeking first the kingdom. And there was a lot of discourses about parables and hints of our Lord and that perfect portrait that was before us. The immersion service was very special. I'm sure, to all, but especially to those in the home ecclesia, seeing the three growing new creatures in our class. They're a tremendous blessing. They're all young as far as truth-wise, but they're old in their maturity. It seems like they've all been around for a long time. Lastly, I'd like to thank the home ecclesia here. And I don't mean to toot our own horn. I've heard a lot of good comments, and you hear that at conventions, but it seems like it's come from the heart, and people really have appreciated the convention. And I know some of the hard work that has gone on behind the scenes, and people are doing double duty. And I'd just like to take this moment to thank the brethren here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brother Michael. Yes, Mark.
I really appreciate the opportunity of being here at this convention. I enjoyed last year's convention an awful lot, and I thought it'd be a hard one to top, but I enjoyed this one too. And I enjoyed the discourses and the fellowship. And you know how you go to a convention, you have a question in the back of your mind somehow that you get a lot of answers to, but it's not really the right answer. And I got an answer to a question that came from the strangest of quarters, and last night Aaron and I were talking about it, and we were laughing about it all night long. You ever wonder why the Lord allows an experience to happen, and you keep asking why? I know that question or point was brought up in one of the talks too, but it came from something that Michael said. I couldn't wait to get home to say this phrase, Michael. But it's next time you ask the Lord why, the answer is, well, Mark, I know what I'm doing. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. And I think about that, and, you know, the Lord does know what he's doing. And this isn't the first time he's experimented on an experience that you're getting, and that he knows just what he's doing to get the right fruits of the Spirit out of you. And I really appreciate that. I can't wait to get home to tell all my friends about it. They may not appreciate it the same way, but I don't know if I've ever heard that phrase before, and it just fits so many things. It's some phrases in your mind stick all the time. I think of my dad, and the phrase that sticks out with him is, what a mess. And that phrase now is going to kind of join that little list there on the side that I really appreciated. I especially appreciated fellowship with Brother Sarasi and the comments that he had in his talk, that there's a great deal to learn in the way the Lord deals with us, even if it takes years and years before we see a fruition of those experiences. And I appreciated that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. It certainly is true that it's easy for people to really fall in the trap of failing to realize that God has a perspective that's so much different than our own. Our perspective is very narrow, and so when we don't understand something, we almost think, is God dead, as some of the people in the world at one point at least went through that, or the rejoinder to that is, no, he's not, he just doesn't want to get involved, and that's the way it looks, of course. But it's always from the narrow perspective of not seeing that we are really dealing with somebody who is omnipotent, and in our own lives, when things happen and we don't understand them, I think that maybe we are getting a message from the Lord in code, and maybe we just haven't decoded that particular message, but we can trust him when we can't trace him. And usually with the passage of time, those messages begin to make sense, and we realize the wisdom that the Heavenly Father has used in tailoring the experience especially for us. And it's only as we look back on them that we realize that wisdom is there. So when we don't understand them, we, I think, perhaps can look forward with anticipation to the day that we will. Sister Christensen, Aaron, over on the side. It won't reach. How far will you go? Yeah, go that way and see, and she and Beverly can come forward.
You said my name.
Yes, it's from Seattle. It used to be Bremerton.
I still live in Bremerton,
okay.
But I meet with the Seattle class on Sunday and the Tacoma class on Thursday, and the little Tacoma class sent their love to all of you. I also have special love from Lori, and of course I miss her very much here at this convention, especially, and She, though, is being blessed by being at the New York Convention. One of the highlights of this convention for me was that I, for the very first time, was to help the gals that were to be baptized. And, of course, it made it especially nice because my daughter-in-law, Eileen, was one of them. But I love all three of those girls very much. They're in our class in Seattle. And I know that helping in that way is probably not much of a, not one of the bigger jobs or anything like that, but all of a sudden it hit me that I was going to get to do this, and I really was very pleased, and I just felt so blessed that they'd asked me. So that was that's just a very special thing that happened. I also want to say that I'm thrilled very much to have Elaine to become my sister. I just didn't expect to have this so soon again, and I just thank the Lord every day because He's blessed us with her. I'm happy too to have old Gavin here. He's a special little boy, and we love him a lot, and we're just happy that he can be here and make friends with some of the other children. And I do ask an interest in your prayers. I pray for you, and I'm happy that this convention did seem to be a real blessing to everyone and to the glory and honor of our Heavenly Father. And I also love you all.
Thank you, Sister Beverly. Mr. Shirley Bruce is from Seattle.
From Seattle. I'm just so happy that all of you could come. Many people have come up and thanked us for the convention, but, you know, the old saying, if you gave a convention and nobody came, you wouldn't have a convention. So it's a two-way street. We need you and you need us and we need each other. I think this wonderful thought of body members working together is so very important. And I'm especially pleased to have had the weeks here early and have special fellowship with them and with Betty and Steve for early, and now we're going to have some stay, and then Aaron and Mark came and stayed with us, and that was very, very special for us. And one of the speakers mentioned that when we see somebody going through a trial, we often say, oh, they don't need that. And are we thinking, but they do need that, and we shouldn't think it. What we should do is remember them in prayer, that this trial may bring them closer to the Lord, and that's the important part. And that's a big help to me. I appreciated Steve Mengus's talk on patience. When you're making a reservation for a convention, you don't have much patience sometimes. And somebody said to me, well, I didn't want to stay an extra day and change my reservation. I said, why be different from everybody else? You know, everything changes from day to day. But what a privilege we have of having all of brethren here. And I'm so happy that Elena and Lutz could be with us. And I look around the room and I just multiply that over and over. And we had a special blessing because of having Mabel Goodwin with us. She called this last week and said she's been getting the Dawn for a long time. She saw we were having a convention and wondered if she could come. Well, she's come each day and she hasn't wanted to go home. And I was talking to her before, and she said her friend came, and her friend got tired of sitting and hearing all these deep talks, and she said, I'm not a bit tired. And so we're hoping she will want to continue to meet with us. And that was a real special blessing. And then, as you all know, last year when our dear Bertha was immersed, Cindy came and heard the baptismal discourse. I guess a little bell started ringing in her head and in her heart. And as someone has already said, the three that were immersed, Elaine, Lois, and Cindy, just amazes me as how fast they have grown just in this last year. And they're such a blessing to us and such a help in our class. And it's such a wonderful experience having them meet with us. And I'm very thankful for all of you. I was so happy when Sister Seale was able to come and stay the whole time. Real example, when you're 90, almost 91 years old, being strong in the truth and being a good example. I hope I can do the same. So thank you all for coming and being a blessing to us.
Thank you, Sister Shirley. I know that it is a real blessing for any class to see those who give their heart to the Lord and show the evidences of spirit begettal, grow with us, study with us. We had that blessing, too, in Los Angeles this year when we had some who were immersed in Manette, and in particular likes to remind people who say, you know, oh, the classes are getting smaller, we've had people move away, but look, we also have some new ones in our class, and let's appreciate those and not forget it, and we try to do just that. Brother Clark from Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you, Brother. Well, everybody has been overflowing with the benefits and help we received, and I certainly want to join in this chorus of love and gratitude and thankfulness. We thank our Heavenly Father, and we thank all you wonderful people. We certainly have benefited from every talk, and it's hard to sort out different ones. But the miracle of it is that we will have tapes of all these talks, and we'll take them home with us. And my wife and I are isolated, but not that we are very fortunate we have each other. And we will hear the tapes and hear these talks many times, and practically every speaker here, we have other tapes of them, and we just feel like kindred spirits with them because we know them well and know their voices and hear them all the time. But the thing that is so overwhelming to me, and I know my wife feels the same, is the outpouring of love and feeling that is just felt by everybody. And I think that's why you can say this was the best one, because that new feeling of all the love between everybody that is so evident and so natural and such a wonderful feeling that I know I haven't, and I know everyone here feels it. And it's because of our fellowship in our Lord and in our Father. And we do thank you all so much. And we thank the Seattle class for the efforts they have undertaken to provide this gathering place for us. And we ask for an interest in your prayers as we leave for home. And we know that you will all be in ours. And we do thank you.
Thank you, Brother Clark. Certainly it is true that the tapes are a marvelous ministry. Even when you've attended the convention, it's wonderful to listen to the tapes because there is so much crammed into just so few days that we get just a small fraction of it. But then to be able to listen later, where you might do just one a day, it suddenly seems to have much more meaning. Sister Jackie Sirossi from New Haven, Connecticut.
You got that right. Yes, Steve and I have been very, very thankful to be here. This is our first time in Seattle, and we really appreciate the hospitality and thoughtfulness of the friends. There have been several of the talks that I've especially appreciated, and one on patience. We've been having a lot of trials in that area, not from each other, but we realize that perseverance, you have to persevere in dealing with patients, and this was brought out by Brother Mengos. And the talks on lukewarmness. We have an Italian sister back home that has been having a lot of physical problems, and I talked with her the day before we left, and 15 minutes after I talked with her, her sister told me later that she had passed out. Now, she's had 3 or 4 episodes of passing out, and she's fallen to the floor and bunged herself up, and she doesn't remember any of it, and she was taken to the hospital in the ambulance, and they had worked on her for 45 minutes before she started to come to. Well, this time her sister worked on her, and she brought her around, and she was able to move her to a rocking chair in about 2 hours. And so that was a frightening experience for her sister. But Sister Carmel is, she's had so many physical problems that she tends to become discouraged. And I think that when you have something persistently like that, it does tend to discourage you, and they need all the more the prayers of the friends. And we have another young lady who's my niece, Sister Debbie Allen, and she's going through many emotional difficulties, and she's consecrated, and she was baptized at Albion 1 year, and so she needs the prayers of the friends also. And when we come to conventions, we realize how fortunate we are that we can get out with the friends and we can hear the experiences of everybody. And this helps us in fighting our fight. And so it's just a joy to be here, and we're very thankful and appreciative.
Thank you, Sister Jackie. And Brother Steve. Older brethren, needless to say, as Jackie mentioned, we're enjoying ourselves immensely at the Seattle Convention, first time. And we'll have very many fond memories to take with us when we go home. The Seattle Friends have provided a wonderful environment for us to fellowship with one another in very relaxed circumstances and to drink in all the spiritual food, for which we thank them. Is this the best convention yet? Of course. Very obviously, because this convention filled our present needs. When we go to a convention, we go hungering and thirsting for the Lord's will. Past conventions fill past needs, but we have present needs. And so when we come, we get answers to any problems, any spiritual situations that we are going through for which we need guidance. So yes, we have. We have received many helpful thoughts and counsel from all the talks. The baptismal talk was very meaningful to all of us, I'm sure, to update our consecration. Baptism is not an event, it's a process, and we are all in the process. So as we view the baptismal service, we identify with it for that very reason. I've enjoyed all the talks and look forward to hearing them at leisure. The talk on striving for peace is very helpful. As the scripture says, everyone wants peace and tranquility, but you have to work hard at it. And as the scripture says, to labor, to enter into rest, that is a lifelong endeavor. But we can if we do it according to the Lord's will. The talk by Bob Drecke on the parable of sheep and goats just flooded in a lot of thoughts in my mind. We've been having loads of conversations with some Jehovah's Witnesses. And, of course, the parable of sheep and goats is a very pivotal subject that comes up constantly. As you probably know, their view is that it's being fulfilled today, the parable of sheep and goats, that they, the Jehovah's Witness movement, are sitting in judgment now, and that unless you come in harmony with the Jehovah's Witness movement, you are going to be proved unworthy of life, not only to die in Armageddon, but never to come back. So all 5 billion people living are going to be sent into eternal second death, according to them. So I was very helped by some of the
thoughts that Brother Bob gave on it, and some thoughts that you need to have follow up. In our latest cycle with them, it comes in cycles. They come for 12 or 13 or 14 weeks. And, of course, we keep them coming because we know that eventually they're going to be disenchanted and they're going to want some guidance. And this particular young lady who's been coming in the last cycle, she brings someone else each week. She's brought her elders and she's brought various other people. The sessions last about 2 to 3 hours. And she keeps coming back. And we've discussed the parable of sheep and goats at great length. And we've developed quite a good friendship with her and some of her friends. She kind of likes Jackie and I. And she said that she's going to keep coming until Armageddon comes because she doesn't want us to go to second death. And we said, fine, as long as you're willing to come, we're willing to talk with you. And we've developed a rapport. I guess many of the friends have known the Jehovah's Witnesses to be very belligerent and very short and so forth, as soon as they know that you're of the evil slave class. But this young lady, we've had a grand experience. We're enjoying it immensely. One week, she came, and of course, when the sessions last a couple of hours, Jackie usually serves coffee and a little something. So this week, this young lady came, and she brought coffee cake with her. Now, that's kind of a first. How many of you have ever had coffee cake from a Jehovah's Witness? And if I kept a diary, I think I would have written in that day, a coffee cake for the evil slave class. And it's not the coffee cake that we appreciated. It was our gift of friendship. She felt warm. And we're enjoying it immensely. And, of course, we're looking forward to further sessions. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, we haven't been able to because she's been away and we've been away. But we seek an interest in your prayers that we may help give her some of the correct applications of the parable of sheep and goats so that she may apply herself appropriately. And we love you all. We've enjoyed the fellowship immensely. And we'll be praying for you and ask your prayers for us.
Thank you, Brother Steve. I too enjoyed the discussion of that parable. I had remembered hearing Tim Krupa's discourse on sheep, but I had never heard a discourse on goats. And in a way, Bob gave me a bit of insight about goat-like characteristics that was new to me. And it certainly drew a mental picture that said, above all, let's not be goat-like in our behavior. Yes, Mr. Margie Keith from Seattle.
I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for coming, as Sister Shirley said. I would like to read you a text. Brother David, at the beginning of the meeting this morning, sent out a call to Macedonia. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Our call was answered. I was overwhelmed by the number of people that came out to help us with the children this morning that asked if there was anything they could do, that they would be glad to help. It is not always easy to preach the gospel to 2 to 4 year olds and 5 to 11 year olds, but there was a need and it was fulfilled. And that has been the general theme of this convention, where there was a need, if the friends knew the need was there, it was fulfilled. And sometimes when they didn't know the need was there, it was fulfilled. And we thank you very much for coming. We thank you for fulfilling the needs that we had for putting on the convention, and we hope in turn that we have fulfilled needs for you. It has been a wonderful time for all of us. It has been a blessing to have you here. I have heard more discourses at this convention than I have in many conventions because, again, of the need that you all fulfilled for us, especially by helping in the Sunday school room. And for any of those of you that have ever had children, you know how important that need can be. But we just love you all very much. We are so glad that you have come here to be with us, and we hope that if we don't see you on this side of the veil again, that the Lord willing, we will see you on the other side. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Marjorie. Brother David Bruce, I believe, is from Seattle.
Yes, you got that one right, too.
I just want to echo what Margie and Shirley have said, how grateful we are for your presence here and for your help. When it was needed, it was provided, and it's been a marvelous experience. We've enjoyed having you, and we enjoy the lessons especially. I was thinking of the idea of working together in a project such as this. All the members of our class have worked together, and I was also thinking of, I think Steve Mengers had the part in the battling lukewarmness of being fitly joined together, and how beautiful that is to see the body members working together, even though we come from different areas, different places, different backgrounds, and everything else. It's been just, I use the Tim Cooper word, incredible to me to have it go so well. I enjoyed all the talks like everybody else, but I've got 5 pages of notes here, and I'll try not to use them all, but acquiring...
You're the chairman, David.
Yeah, well, I just have to say something about the peace, the talk on peace by Brother Weeks. And I enjoyed, we all enjoy the illustrations. He said, don't climb the wall by banging your head on it. We should sit down in the shade of the wall and stay on this side and be happy. And I enjoyed that because I think sometimes we want to do other things and feel that we should get over the wall and on the other side. And it's really not. The Lord will provide if he wants us on the other side. And I could go on and on about that talk, but I won't. I also enjoyed Bob Zarecki's talk on children of vipers. That scares me sometimes. I don't like snakes any more than any of us do because of its connection with the devil. But I appreciated the lesson of not being like the children of vipers, not being hypocrites. Brother Lutz's talk on life and death and the power of the tongue goes right along with that. And I want to be careful and set a watch over my tongue, as he has suggested. And Brother, Tim Thomason's handout, as you said, was marvelous on self-examination. I'm glad I'm not being tested. I'm not on my final test yet. And then the 30 pieces of silver, that has opened up a whole new world to me of thought, and I kind of like it, I think. I'm going to think about that. And then this will be my last suggestion. Highlight, although, as I say, they're all highlights to me. And I don't know where Brother Sirasa gets all these one-liners. I think I have a habit of putting down the one-liners and a little star beside them. This whole page is a bunch of stars. Detours are the best route to get to a destination. This is on-the-job training. When the going gets tough, we have to learn hardness. We should have a telescopic view. God has 20/20 vision. I like that one. I wish I could remember it more often. And as I say, the whole jigsaw puzzle of God's plan, we know 90% of it, brethren. There's not too many pieces that are missing. I think we should rejoice in what the Lord has provided and the view we have of the kingdom and its blessings and the peace that we have now. And I'm very grateful to my Heavenly Father for this convention and the needs that it has filled in my life. I ask an interest in your prayers.
Brother Al Weeks. But before Brother Al Weeks says something, I'm just... I love the idea of being up here, and I'm pre-associated on what I hear. And I too, am really struck by how our mind remembers these one-liners, as it were, which is, of course, the reason the Lord, I think, talks so much in parables. You could go home at night, and if the spouse said, "What did he talk about?" you could remember. And I remember Al who said, "The chains of habit are so weak you cannot feel them until they grow so strong you cannot break them." And Nanette's father, who is just celebrated his 90th birthday, says that whenever he feels that he is developing a habit, he consciously breaks it.
it's sort of like before it reaches the point where the chain is too strong. And that's one of those little gems I'm going to try to remember. And now, Brother Al.
Well, I echo everybody else's sentiments that this has been a great convention. And especially for me, I needed to be filled up, and I have been filled up. The discourses are great. There's a lot of thoughts that are still in my mind that I'm going to think about, work on, and hopefully make a lot of them more my own. And I especially appreciated the warmth of the brethren at this convention. I really felt that as very special. And also some of the fellowship that we've enjoyed. Getting to know Aaron Leslie. Never had any real fellowship with him. And I want you to know, brethren, that he takes down his notes in verse form, like a poet would write it. Fascinating. And he shared some of that with us last night. If you ever get a chance, see some of his notes. Very, very interesting.
And Sharon, but now we get to know Aaron, and that was sort of great. The reason that Aaron does that, he told us, was because it focuses his mind. It concentrates the mind in a way unlike just the taking of notes, if you will, in prose form. I wouldn't have thought it would have been possible to do it until Aaron demonstrated it to us. It was a fascinating experience. Sister Henrietta from Portland.
Brother Michael and brethren, I'm your Henrietta. I'm very thankful, excuse me, to be here. Why have I come? I have come because the carcass is here, and I knew there would be eagles here. And so I appreciated Brother Ruthman. Every meeting, every experience of where we study, conventions, fellowship with the brethren, to me is very special. And I'm counting my blessings and asking myself just, what has this all done for me? And so I'm too one of these that have special little notations and things. But I believe it's because I have set a priority. Michael and some Shirley Bruce and some of us set priorities many years ago. And we come from a generation that I am so thankful because it's going. The kingdom is around the corner. But I especially appreciate the old values when we were taught to respect the truth, the Lord, decorum. But I need to be revived, and that's why I'm here. I'm thankful for the special privilege of being at this convention. It has filled many needs. I've had questions. I needed a better sense of direction, and my prayers have been answered, as they always do. And so I want to share a few thoughts with you. In my early days, I was so anxious for knowledge. I wanted to know, but I learned later quickly that often knowledge can be just tearing apart. As I grew, I finally learned that wisdom is putting it together. And I could not do this when I was, as the world says, a greenhorn. I was very disturbed over a lot of things because I had such high standards, justice and things like that. And I used to ask my mother, Mama, why? Why is this happening at the meetings? Why is this happening? And she said, I'll tell you why. You can't put an old head on a young body. I didn't understand what she said, but I understand it today. It takes time to grow. It takes time to be sanctified. Brother Price in my home spent a week, and I said to him, what's wrong with the truth movement? He said, every time he makes a pilgrim trip, he sees something. He said, sanctified common sense is becoming uncommon. I didn't understand it, but I do today. And I'm thankful. Another thing, does this sound familiar? When the Lord puts a period, let us not add a question mark. I used to add a lot of question marks. Why? I asked Brother Price, why? He said, the Lord didn't promise you all these answers. You take time and do some studying, Henrietta. Sit down and learn how to be quiet. I've learned that. I hope I shall continue to learn this. Another quotation. A certain tolerance for uncertainty is a means of maturity. Do you recognize it, Michael? 20 years ago, I have that in my Bible. I will repeat it. A certain tolerance for uncertainty is a means of maturity. Another one that complements this. Bold statements and misapplied texts sometimes carry weight with the unstable and...